Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Robbie Lula.
He talks basketball on 1620 The Zone. His name's Robbie Lula, and he's on the phone. Robbie Lula. Robbie Lula. He is here to talk Creighton basketball.
Here he is, Robbie Lula, Herd At Sports. Hello, Robbie.
What's going on, fellas?
Yo!
Not much. We didn't get a chance because we got all the breaking news on the schedule leaks to get into the NBA Finals last night. But I think, at least my first impression was, oh yeah, that game two? Maybe that game two wasn't such a teller of things after all.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like to me that, obviously Miami shot the ball really well in game two. I also just thought Denver's defense really kind of collapsed, especially in the second half, you know, really more specifically like that fourth quarter. So I don't know. I didn't really felt like Miami figured anything out. It just felt like Denver lost focus a little bit. You know, you win game one, you're kind of cruising a little bit in game two, mm-hmm. and then they lost their little focus in game two, got away from them. I thought you saw a much better representation of probably where the two teams are at last night, with Denver taking that 2-1 lead with a pretty convincing victory there. So, like I said, on paper, this thing should be Denver. Wouldn't shock me if it's Denver in five. But again, Miami shouldn't be here in the first place. So I don't feel great ruling anything out, but I think last night's a pretty accurate representation of who these teams most often are.
Robbie, Jokic, you know, again, just doing ridiculous things. First ever 30, 20, and 10 in an NBA Finals game. He's averaging now in the playoffs 30.5 points per game, 13.5 boards per game, and 10 assists per game. Like, I know that we have been celebrating this guy for the last, 2 months almost now, and he is really getting his flowers on the national scene in a way that he is not. But under the radar, are we suddenly, like, maybe missing that this is turning into one of the best individual postseason runs that a player has ever had?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly up there. I think part of it is, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. It's not a huge departure from what he just put up in the regular season, right? So I think that's part of it. It also doesn't... It's weird because a lot of times Jokic, especially when he's not going on like a scoring spurt, a lot of the other stuff kind of sneaks up on you in terms of how much the stats are accumulating. Like the 20 rebounds snuck up on me last night. The assists, because he kind of just controls the offense so much, they're not surprising, but again, I think a lot of them, you see the highlight assists and things like that where he makes some kind of ridiculous pass, but he just makes the right pass a lot of the time, and it turns into points so much for Denver. So it's not a super flashy way that he ends up with these numbers, which maybe is why some of the talk around him is so subdued. He's not one of those real, you know, he's not an above-the-rim, high-flyer type of guy. He kind of looks like he's, you know, that old D1 guy that plays pickup ball with you now, and he kind of dominates and you're not really sure how. That's kind of his entire career and game, so it doesn't necessarily jump off the page for you or jump off the screen for you the way other, you know, more athletically inclined guys do. But the numbers, and obviously if they finish out the series, will speak for themselves. At that point, you're going to be talking about a two-time MVP, a champion, I assume finals MVP. His resume is going to stack up with everybody in the league except for LeBron and Steph, basically.
Robbie Lula from Herd At Sports joining us. Numbers aside, we are a very vision forward fan base or punditry when it comes to choosing the great ones, right? Where you've mm-hmm. got those moments. You've got Dr. J under the rim. You've got Jordan switching hands or the shrug or
LeBron block.
Or LeBron and the block. And I know that Jokic in the Western Finals had the goofy, you know, drop back late shot clock three. But does he almost need in these finals to have one of those types of moments to truly get the appreciation? I get it. You know, we appreciate him, and I think a lot of people are appreciating him, but because of the way he plays, it doesn't always lend itself to one of those moments where you're like, it's you know, ironed into your brain that remember this from Jokic? Does he need one of those?
Yeah, I don't know if he needs one of those. Probably if he wants to get, like, mass appeal, he does. But you're right. He doesn't lend himself to a highlight package. That was kind of the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the stuff that's so impressive about him is his vision, his basketball IQ. Even when he's scoring, like, his footwork, his ability to kind of get people off balance when they're defending him, and then for a guy that size to quickly change direction and end up with an easy look at the rim, you know, like all that stuff is super impressive. It's not what you see on the top 10 of SportsCenter most of the time, right? So in order to gain the mass appeal, whether it's like a clip going viral on TikTok or something like that, or you know, social media in general, you know, there's obviously a broader appeal that he probably misses because he's not that type of player. But I think people who know and appreciate basketball, he doesn't need it for them. The only it's for the common fans and even non-basketball fans that can look at things that LeBron James does or whatever, or that John Morant's a really good example because of how explosive he is in some of his highlights and things like that. That really translates to people that maybe don't even pay that much attention to basketball. Jokic's game, if you're not real appreciative of basketball, is much more subtle in the way that he is dominant.
What do you think is going on with Butler right now? Do you think that this is an injury? Is it fatigue? All of the above? Something else?
I mean, I think it's a kind of a return to the mean, I think. I mean, there is an injury. I know he rolled his ankle, you know, so you can't discount that too much. So it probably takes a little bit of the edge off there. But also, look at his entire career. I understand playoff Jimmy's a thing. I understand that he has his competitiveness and his kind of will to win sometimes elevates him past what he normally is. But he's been in the league for a very long time, and the numbers are what they are for a reason. He is capable of more than his averages, but there's a reason his averages get drugged back down into the low 20s in points per game and things like that. That's who he's always been as a player, and to expect him to stay at that elevated level through an entire playoff run, it looked like he might for a minute, but I don't know that we've seen that from a player of his station in the NBA. The closest examples I can think of is like when Joe Flacco went nuclear during Ravens Super Bowl run. Like, that's the closest thing from a player that's like good. Like, Joe Flacco was a pretty, like, a real solid quarterback for a really long time. Jimmy Butler's probably a little better than that.
Yeah, I'd agree.
In terms of where he falls in the league. But a guy that's good, probably not great, having an all-time run, Flacco is kind of the only one that matches it. And I really can't think of one in basketball because the NBA playoffs are so long. It's really hard to sustain that level of success through a championship if you're not that guy.
Ravi Lula joining us. I was reading a story today. Carl Anthony Towns, who played on the USA team with Jokic back in the day, he made a comparison. He played against Jokic in an international tournament. But anyway, he compared Jokic and Murray to Duncan and Parker, going back to the old, you know, the early, you know, dominance of the Spurs. Does that feel like an apt comparison, an a fair comparison?
I mean, the Jokic and Duncan won. So I think it probably doesn't give enough credit to either Jokic or Murray. And that's not just, I think Murray has a higher ceiling than Parker did. It's hard to say that about Jokic and Duncan because of how good Tim Duncan was. And a lot of Duncan's numbers are a little bit subdued because of the era that he was playing in. They were scoring like 70 points a game. So I don't want to rely too much on that. I think they're different types of players. Like Jokic is a much more facilitating big than Duncan ever was. Even though Duncan was capable, he didn't have that same level of passing gene that Jokic does. But I think Murray's offensive game, from a scoring standpoint, is much more complete than Parker's was. Parker probably had a better facilitation talent set, skill set, than Murray does. So, I mean, it's kind of lazy and like, hey, there's a big guy that's a little boring, and then there's a guard that's maybe a little overlooked. I think their games are pretty different, though.
Ravi, moving away from the NBA Finals, we're 25 minutes away from the Big Ten announcing the schedule stuff. I mean, a bunch of things have been leaking over the last little bit. Nebraska and Iowa are going to be the locked-in rivalry, only one protected game for the Huskers. What do you think Nebraska was hoping for with this? Like, the Big Ten, let's say that I assume that they went to all 14 schools, right? What do you think Trev Albert said when they asked him, like, hey, what are you hoping for from the schedule? What do you think his answer was?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Obviously, I'm sure Iowa was on the list.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game the fans care about so much that had to be on their list. You know, I don't know what the administration or the football program would have wanted outside of that, because, like, I think the Wisconsin and now the Minnesota thing are more personal to fans than they are important to the administration. So that's kind of a tricky question. I guess it would probably depend on what Trev's priorities were in terms of what he was trying to achieve with the protected games. But I kind of like the flexibility. It could mean in some years that you're going to end up with a gauntlet of a schedule, but things might break your way some years too. Like if you're in a situation where you've got Iowa, Ohio State, and like USC on your schedule every year, say you've got those as protective games, like you're not going to have a lot of easy years. With just having Iowa, it could break Nebraska's way, you know, every once in a while. I know Nebraska fans haven't felt like that's been the case very often with Nebraska's schedule in the Big Ten. And maybe rightfully so, but I think you could end up with some years with more manageable schedules. What they wanted, I don't really know, but I don't think this worked out badly for them.
And right on that note, Scott Docterman literally just spilled
the
entire beans on this. I mean, seriously, why do we even bother? Why do we even bother? You know, it's like
he got the graphics and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
he's got
Scott logged into their computers. Ravi, do you want to know Nebraska's 2024 conference schedule?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, home games. They got five and 24. Iowa, Northwestern, Penn State, Purdue, UCLA. Oh wow, that's a home game. Oh no, never mind.
No.
That's away.
Those
I looked
are
at it
away
wrong.
Games.
White usually means home. My bad. Away games. Iowa, Northwestern, Penn State, Purdue, UCLA. Home games. Indiana, Michigan State, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Jeez, puke. 2025. Nebraska away games. Maryland, Minnesota, Ohio State, and USC. And then at home, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Rutgers, and UCLA. Oh, God. People are going to be so triggered.
Yep.
Don't be triggered. It's
like
okay.
That's kind of what I mean, though.
Yep.
Like the 2024 schedule seems pretty manageable. 2025 seems a little bit more like a gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are going to be some years where it breaks okay for you.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, because we like to compare.
Iowa.
Iowa in 24.
Rutgers nine times.
Will go to Illinois, Minnesota, Ohio State, Rutgers, and USC. They will host Maryland, Nebraska, UCLA, Wisconsin. In 2025, Iowa will go to Indiana, Nebraska, Purdue, and Wisconsin. They will host Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Northwestern, Penn State.
So they got tough schools.
Yeah, I don't think that's a cakewalk for Iowa by any means.
No.
No, this year they got to go to Ohio State and next year they got to go to Ohio State and USC.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah, I don't think they caught any breaks there.
No, I don't think any of the good schools are going to catch breaks anymore. Like, I think that those days are over on paper.
Well, and there's part of the thing was you add UCLA and USC, assuming those teams stay good. And again, this is assuming a lot of the teams that are good right now stay good and whatever. There's a lot of people are going to have hard schedules. There's going to be a lot of good teams in the Big Ten. You're not going to get a ton of breaks, you know? So a lot of it's going to be, okay, do I have to go there or are they going to come to my place in terms of what's viewed as an easier schedule or a lighter schedule? I mean, who knows? 2 years from now, if you're drinking the Matt Rhule Kool-Aid, people might be looking at the 2025 and be like, oh, no, we got to go to Nebraska. That's what I'm talking about.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's all, again, I just laugh at all this. It's just, why are we even bothering doing a schedule release show? It's already out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, John, their plan wasn't for it to leak, though.
I think it was. Don't give the information to the reporters until you're ready to announce it. That's my point.
I mean, I would say that that's good journalism by Scott.
I'm not blaming Scott. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Scott or anyone else is wrong. I'm saying the Big Ten is wrong. If you don't want the stuff to get out and you want and you would like people to actually tune into your network to get the news, don't say anything to anybody until you want it said.
Sure.
Period. So I'm blaming the Big Ten.
Okay.
But all right. Well, now we don't have to watch the show.
What was that, Robbie?
I said, do I need to be here for this part? No.
John isn't happy about this at all.
No, I think it's stupid. I think it is stupid.
You seem weirdly triggered about people doing their job.
I know.
No. I am not triggered about journalists doing their job.
John, like,
I am triggered about if the Big Ten won it, and apparently they didn't. Apparently they didn't care about their viewership at 3:30. But if you're going to make this big deal about it, then
what piece of information in the sports world doesn't get leaked, though, I guess, is my point.
Okay, the LIV Golf merger.
John, even the NCAA tournament field got leaked one time.
Yes, one time.
I'm just saying.
And that was a mistake that someone, I'm sure, got fired for.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the Big Ten didn't really want anyone to know. But, you know, it is what it is.
Who knows? Maybe somebody's going to get fired for this, John. Would you feel better if that happened?
No, I wouldn't get fired.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Robbie, have a great weekend. And now you can go over the Big Ten schedules for the next 2 years and tell us who got screwed and who didn't.
Mm.
I'm probably not going to do that because we have no idea who's going to be good over the next 2 years. But, you know, to each their own.
Ravi Lula, Herd at Sports. Ravi, take care, my friend.
Bye, Ravi.
See you, boys.
Ravi Lula joining us here on the hotline.
Dave says, John should be happy for the leaks. Imagine BTN stretching that graphic into an hour-long show with the full reveal at the very end. Now it's over. Now we don't have to watch.
Oh, I know. We don't have to watch. We're going to watch the baseball game instead.
Good.
But there you go, folks. You know what it is. And now we didn't even need to move Robin.
I know. Well, crap, now we...
Yeah, I asked him if we need to move him again.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
Because, yeah, Robin's writing. He's doing writing duty about this. And now it's already out. Rats.
Well, we'll find out next.
Yeah, we might have Robin. We might not.
I mean, at this point, will it matter as much? I mean, another 15 minutes?
I mean, he probably just going to want to get to writing is probably what he's going to want to do.
Hmm. Right. He said he'd need like an hour just to... Get all the ducks in a row.
We'll find out.
We'll find out next on 1620 The Zone.
Hey everyone, Josh Peterson here for my friends at Kugler Vision. You know, I just saw a tweet that is perfect because it is from Adam Rittenberg, and it says, for those with great eyesight, eye emoji, and then it's a screenshot of the news that we just delivered to you. And I was thinking, wow, I can click into this graphic and I can see Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, etc. with no problems at all. And that is because over 5 years ago, I had a procedure done at Coogler Vision. You get back to your normal life quickly, but your normal life is clearer than it has been before. Patients, after getting LASIK done, typically drive themselves back to KV the very next day for their follow-up visit. You are good to go within 24 hours. Schedule an eye analysis today at CooglerVision.com. If you're thinking about fixing the bad vision of yours, if you've been annoyed with the glasses, if you've been annoyed with the contacts, now is the time. Comfortable procedure, great procedure, and you're back at it 24 hours later. Give them a call today at 402-558-2211 or visit them online at CooglerVision.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.